My dear brothers and sisters, we find Adam and Eve tempted in the first reading, Jesus tempted in today's gospel. Let's talk about temptation. What is a temptation? Let's start by realizing what a temptation isn't. A temptation is not a sin. A temptation is an opportunity to choose between good and evil. But simply the fact that I am tempted does not mean that I have incurred any sin. Sometimes we can feel guilty and beat ourselves up because, oh, I was tempted to do such and such. Well, you were tempted. Did you end up doing it? No. Well, then there's not a sin there. In fact, the resisting of temptation, having that opportunity to choose and not letting ourselves be pulled towards the evil, but resisting it, actually builds us up in virtue. So now entertaining temptations is another thing where we put ourselves in a near occasion of sin by allowing ourselves to ruminate over that temptation, and that's setting us up for a fall. But merely to be tempted is not sinful, and in fact, a victory when we can resist it. You know, maybe early on in her ministry to the poor, Mother Teresa might have said, gee, if I robbed that bank over there, I'd have all the money I need to take care of the poor. But I assure you, by the end of her life, she wasn't really having to fight very hard the temptation not to rob a bank. You and I in the same. We might find certain things right now pulling us, but the more we resist, the more we make the choice for the good, the more we become free, the less hold that temptation has upon me. So let's talk about what temptation is. Temptation is a false promise. Something that promises that it's better than God. That it's better than God's love for us. That it's better than God's plan for us. It is a false promise. Now, let's talk about that. When the devil is tempting Eve, you know, imagine everything that's going into that moment. I love when this reading comes up at the beginning of Lent because Adam and Eve get interviewed on all the talk shows. Did you see Eve on The View this week? No. Why? Because she wasn't there. Why wasn't she there? Because she's dead. Why is she dead? Because of original sin. But what did the devil say? Oh, no. Eat this. No, you won't die. Is she dead? She's dead. Did the devil lie? He lied. A false promise. If you eat this, you're not going to die. She died. There's a reason we call the devil the father of lies. And every temptation is another manifestation of his lie. Forget about God. There's something better over here. Better than what? Better than an infinite love? An unconditional love? What could be better than God's love for us? It's nonsense. It's a lie. You know, sometimes we get tricked. Someone pulls the wool over our eyes, we believe them. And what do they say? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, I'm so glad that none of us have ever committed the same sin twice. Or three times. Or four times. or daily or multiple times a day. We need to unmask these false promises. We need to live in the light of the truth. You know, and sometimes it's only by repeated mistakes that we learn lessons. I fall flat on my face often enough, maybe I realize that's not the way to go. That temptation that keeps saying, this is the path to happiness, take it. And so I take it. And do I end up happy? No. I have the same set of problems I had before. Plus, I've now added the burden of sin and alienated myself from God. Is that the path to happiness? No. Then the next time that temptation comes, remember, I've been down that road before and it didn't lead to happiness. Call it for what it is, a lie, and it loses its power over you. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, you and I never choose evil. Now, wait a minute, does that mean that we never sin and we don't need to go to confession? No, we know we do sin, we know we do need to go to confession. What St. Thomas means is, we choose what we think is good, what appears to be good. So St. Thomas says this is an apparent good. You and I are oriented towards the good. I would not go for that big piece of chocolate cake if I didn't think it was good. It's an apparent good that draws us. We don't choose evil. So as soon as we begin to let the light of truth shine and expose what is good and what is evil, we begin to be free because we are drawn to what is good. Now, that freedom comes at a price. You know, Friday afternoon, I opened the refrigerator door in the rectory to get a glass of milk. And there on the shelf was this ground beef. And right next to it was a stack of cheese slices. And all of a sudden the voice was, wouldn't a cheeseburger taste really good right about now? What did I do? Slam the door. Right? You and I need to build up our ability to resist these temptations. And that's what all of the prayer, the fasting, the almsgiving of Lent is about. These three pillars are meant to help strengthen us. Prayer, by coming closer to God. Why would I want to turn away from God when I'm tempted if I'm investing in coming closer to Him and I see the beauty of His love for me? Fasting, I learn not to be self-indulgent. Not gratifying my every wish. I learned what it means to say no to myself. Almsgiving. I learned what it means to be generous to others. And that's what all love is self-gift. So this is the way that you and I need to use the graces of this holy season. To let Christ lead us free from those false promises of happiness, instead rejoicing in the beauty of His love. May our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving help us to become more Christ-like and radiate the light of His truth to our world.